Vet Voice.
The People's Telescope. Congratulations to Matt Grills for telling the story of veterans who are helping keep the Hubble Space Telescope operational. April. In the summer of my junior year in high school, I worked on a dredge that pumped the land the assembly building and launch pads now stand on. Harvey Henderson, Milton, Florida. I cannot thank Matt Grills enough for his excellent article. Veterans are, and were indeed, a key part of the team that has kept the Hubble Space Telescope, HST, operational, a decade past its expected lifespan. I was there for the launch in 1990 and the battery servicing mission launch in 2009. I spent the better part of my working career as a battery engineer supporting this game changer for astronomy, and want to give credit to the engineers at NASA, Lockheed Martin, and the many subcontractors, including Eagle Piker, who contributed to the design, test, and qualification of the first set of nickel hydrogen, NiH2, batteries that had exceeded the specified 60-month operational life requirements by 168 months when replaced in 2009. The second set of NiH2 batteries are performing better than the first set and are projected to last longer than HST's expected life. John D. Armentrout, Reno, Nevada. The article on the Hubble Space Telescope was of great interest to me as an amateur astronomer since I was a kid and as a telemetry tracker of Sputnik 1 in 1957. I was part of the Sputnik telemetry tracking team at the Ordnance Missile Labs of the Army's Redstone Arsenal. Sputnik was rather technically unsophisticated, with only two radio telemetry signals, one for satellite internal pressure and one for internal temperature. But it worked, and it was the first. As the article says, Hubble has 7,000 telemetry channels, and is one of, if not the most, technically sophisticated satellites up there today. The stories of the six veterans were informative. It's interesting how their former military careers fit right into the civilian Hubble program. The text and photos, including the magazine cover, are the best I've seen on Hubble for general audience readers. John S. Jack Gibson, Hideaway, Texas. This article on the 30th anniversary of the launch of the Hubble Space Telescope did a great job of explaining the accomplishments of this engineering marvel, even to the point of covering the spherical aberration of the primary mirror. Through the years, many great scientific firsts have been recorded, and the folks at Goddard Space Flight Center have done a super job. But I was disappointed that there was not one word about who designed, built, and launched this gem. The folks at Lockheed Missiles and Space Company, LMSC, in Sunnyvale, California. When I retired from the Navy in September 1975 as a commander, I went to work at LMSC and got to know some of the team that made Hubble possible. They deserve at least a mention. Dave Ayers, Plano, Texas. The Wisdom Gap. I thought Alan W. Dowd's article, April, was one of the best articles I've seen in the American Legion magazine. It was very insightful as to how we need to listen to many experienced and expert advisors to make wise decisions. Gary Hurrell, Lakewood, Colorado. Alan W. Dowd's message is a wake-up call this nation needs to hear. Hopefully, it will spread beyond readers of this magazine. Douglas Cresswell, Mount Airy, Maryland. I enjoyed Alan Dowd's article about wisdom. In a way, this concept applies to an annual American Legion exercise. At graduation ceremonies in three local middle schools for over a decade, I have presented American Legion School Award medallions and certificates to two eighth-grade graduates. I wondered how a 14-year-old could possess such advanced and exemplary qualities without having had the requisite 10,000 hours of training to acquire such mastery. I realized, then, that the more important objective of the program was targeted toward all students, so that they would have a model, the award recipient, to emulate on their journey to becoming wise citizens. Lawrence Jones, Dormont, Pennsylvania. Fast Track. As a UA, United Association of Journeymen and Apprentices of the Plumbing and Pipe Fitting Industry, and Fresno Federal American Legion Post 509 member, I want to thank you for Ken Olson's article about getting veterans into the mainstream and good-paying jobs. April. UA has been doing this for almost a decade. We are a small local in Fresno, but have two apprentices from the VIP program now enrolled in our training program, along with other veterans. We are working on establishing a veterans program in our local to help our community. We also opened our training center to Boy Scouts to help them earn their plumbing merit badge. With several members, some veterans and former Boy Scouts, one an Eagle Scout, as instructors. UA and American Legion strong. Tony Flores, Fresno, California. The Right to Organize Bill. In response to the columns regarding the PRO Act, Big Issues, April, I offer these common sense perspectives. There are seldom speeches from the political podium or the preacher's pulpit that include words of support for workers. The only voice doing that is the voice of the unions. Unions lead the way in job site safety, training, and education, and professionalism within the represented industry. Collective bargaining, negotiation, usually results in a better standard of living via more valuable wage and benefits packages for the workers. This, in turn, provides more revenue for municipal, county, state, and federal coffers. Unions remind us that the origin of overtime rates was not as a reward for workers, but a disincentive to keep them away from their families for more than the standard 8-hour day. When a union is supported, it not only tries to effect positive change within its own ranks, but does everything in its power to ensure the profitability and or success of the company or any other entity with which union members are employed. Unions really are good for America's workers and America's businesses. Ed Knox, Abilene, Texas. Editor's note. In Lore of the Legion, April, Hulon B. Whittington was described as dying of a heart attack in 1963. He did suffer a heart attack in that year, but died in 1969. The American Legion magazine welcomes your opinions. Include your hometown and a daytime phone number for verification. All letters published are subject to editing. Due to the volume of mail received, not every letter can be acknowledged. The American Legion Magazine, P.O. Box 1055, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46206. Magazine at legion.org.